I know my pain. forevermore, and mine are keys to Zion City, where beside the King I walk, for there my heart has found its treasure. Christ is mine forevermore. Christ is Please be seated at the sign. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away as wounds which mar the Holy One, bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon his cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom. Heavenly Father, Lord, we remember the incredible love of Jesus Christ. We remember the incredible love of a Father who, while we were still sinners, while we were still enemies, you gave your Son to be mocked and beaten and crucified, Lord, by us, those you sent him to save, Lord. Lord, we're so thankful for the gospel. We're so thankful for the message of grace, and that you call us and you renew us and you open our eyes and you give us your Spirit And through the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed, you forgive our sins and you welcome us as your children, Lord. We give you all the praise for this, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Silas. You have your Bibles. We're going to be in Jeremiah 23. And if anybody has children's church, you're dismissed at this time. Jeremiah 23. All right, this is a very important lesson. Now, if you remember, back in Genesis, Adam and Eve were in the garden, walking with God, unashamed, and here comes the serpent. And the serpent came to Eve and had one little phrase for her to start everything down the spiral of sin. And that phrase was a very simple little phrase that said simply, "Did God really say?" We know that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Human nature, by the way, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And our enemy is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so his strategy of turning us away from the truth never changes. So last week we talked about God's wrath upon those kings, those final kings of Judah, in which God said, you know what, we're done. We're done with the kings. However, in verse 5 of chapter 23, we talked about the branch, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Lord of our righteousness that will come in the future, and we know that that king is returning. Verse 7 says, therefore, the days are coming, says the Lord, that they'll no longer say, as the Lord lives who brought us up the children out of Egypt, but as the Lord lives who brought up and led the descendants of the house of Israel from the north country and from the countries where I driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. He says, when the Lord comes, no longer are they going to talk about when Israel left Egypt. Now, the Passover celebration, that's still a major focus of the memories of the Israelites leaving Egypt. And God says there's going to come a time where that's not even going to be talked about anymore. Because when Jesus comes and receives everyone to himself, that's all we'll talk about. So last week he took care of the kings and the solution was King Jesus. Today he really attacks the prophets and those who speak on behalf of God incorrectly. So do you remember what the message, how would you summarize the message of Jeremiah? And it is one word, and it is repent. Turn away from what you're doing. Get rid of these false gods. Get rid of these sacrificing of your children. Get rid of these altars you've set up and turn to God. But the prophets, other than Jeremiah, they were preaching a message that said, relax, we're all okay. God loves everybody. God is inclusive. Stop talking about sin. Just talk about the love of God. You ever seen those commercials that say Jesus and they have the little us there? You have to be careful of those because they don't follow biblical teachings. And so we understand that there's always going to be false prophets that come in sheep's clothing. So we know what's coming, but how do we deal with what's happening? That's what this lesson is about. Look at verse number 9 of Jeremiah 23. My heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones are shaken. I'm like a drunken man and like a man whose wine has overcome because of the Lord and because of his holy words. So Jeremiah talks about his broken heart. Why is his heart broken? It's broken because of the prophets. Well, what's the problem with the prophets? They're lying. In fact, he says, because of the Lord and because of his holy words. He's not saying the holy words of God have broken his heart. He's saying because he knows what the Bible teaches, it breaks his heart how much garbage is being taught in the name of God. Welcome to 2024. This is really important that we understand what we're about to read is exactly what's happening today. But it's also what's been happening since Satan said, has God really said? So in order for us to be able to determine a teaching is not true, what do we have to know first? What is true? The Bible is very clear about that. John 17, 17 says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. So his word is truth. John 14, 6, Jesus saith, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one that comes to the Father except through me. So knowing the truth is what drives us to Christ. Jesus told Pilate, I have come to bear witness of the truth. And Pilate has a question for him. The question was what? What is truth? How does anybody know what truth is? Well, thank God we know what truth is. Amen. Jesus is the way. If you want to follow something other than Jesus, you're going the wrong way. Jesus is the truth. If you want to trust in anything other than Christ, you're following a lie. And Jesus is life. If you follow Christ, you'll have eternal life. If you follow something else, you'll face death, separation from God for eternity. The problem is, not really a problem, but the challenge is that when you know the truth, your heart breaks for those who don't know it. When you know that Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me, then what do we do about our loved ones who don't trust in him? It breaks our heart. And it breaks our heart when we hear some talking head telling our children and our loved ones that they don't need Jesus. This is what Jeremiah is going through. Because not only are people being told to relax, you're fine with your false idols, you're fine sacrificing your children, you're fine, you don't need God. Not only is he brokenhearted about the message, but he's more broken because of who are the messengers. They are deemed the prophets of God. They are listened to while Jeremiah was placed in stocks and placed in prison and beaten. This is a very important statement I'm about to make. In Jeremiah 23, the majority is absolutely wrong. And the one voice is the truth. The Bible says that there is a narrow road that leads to righteousness that very few go on. But there is a broad road that leads to destruction. The Bible says all we like sheep have what? The world is full of sheep that are simply following whatever the popular voice of the time is. Let me check my phone today and see what's trending. What am I believing today? Who are we against today? Who are we canceling? Who is it? Tell me. Who are we for? What is the parade about today? What are we protesting today? I don't know. You did a little interview. Why are you protesting? Why are we protesting? I'm not sure. My phone told me to. We're like sheep. We've got to be careful. The majority is usually wrong. Let's look at Jeremiah 23:10. For the land is full of adulterers. Now this is spiritual adultery. Are we not as a church the bride of Christ? So when we follow a false teaching It is spiritual adultery. We are to be married, connected, obedient, and submissive to Christ. When we turn to a false teacher and follow that false teacher, it is spiritual adultery. Because of the curse, the land mourns. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up. Their course of life is evil, and their might is not right. So this talks about the curse of the land. And the curse came from the following of the false teachers. So when Satan came to Eve and said, "Did God really say you couldn't eat this fruit?" She fell for the lie. She rejected the truth of God and followed the lie. And because of that, a curse came to the entire planet. The Bible says that creation mourns and cries out and yearns for everything to be put back the way it was. Here's what it says in Genesis chapter 3. God speaking to Adam, he said, "Because you heeded the voice of your wife and you've eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to, saying you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat it all the days of your life." So the ground itself was cursed. And anybody who's done any farming, you know the toil and sweat it takes to grow something. Verse 18 continues, "But the thorns and thistles shall bring forth to you. You'll eat the herb of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, and for the dust you are, and the dust you shall return." Not only are you going to toil in the ground, but also you're going to be buried in that ground, because the Bible says, whoever eats of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil will surely die. So this death and toil of the ground, this chaos around the world, it's all because we are still living in a cursed world. This world is cursed because of the disobedience of Adam. Romans 5:12. "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all have sinned." This curse, this inherited sin, has been passed on from generation to generation. But thank God he had a solution. Because the Bible says in Romans 5:8 that God demonstrates his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus is called in the Bible the second Adam. In the first Adam, we received death and sin and a curse. Through Jesus, the second Adam, we receive life and forgiveness in eternity. And yet, false prophets would have us believe there's other ways to God other than through his only begotten Son. Look at verse 11. This is very tricky. But if you're going to be teaching about God, it's very important that you get it right. He says, "For both prophet and priest are profane. Yes, in my house I found their wickedness, says the Lord. Therefore, their way shall be to them like slippery ways. In the darkness they shall be driven and fall in them. For I will bring disaster on them the year of their punishment." Their teachings, I use this term a lot as the term slippery slope. And there's subtle things we can do to get away from God, to believe in very little things that lead to bigger things. But God said, "I will bring disaster on them in the year of their punishment." It's very important that you understand that God holds teachers in very high responsibility. In fact, it says in James 3:1, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment." God holds teachers in very high responsibility. When you ask, "Well, Flanagan, why do we just go verse by verse? Why don't you? You know, why don't you tell more stories or more jokes or something like that? You're just verse by verse." Because I'm scared. I'm scared to get away. It just got to go verse by verse because I'm a Bible teacher. I don't know anything. And there is a stricter judgment to those who are going to stand up and teach. Look at verse 13. He says, I've seen the folly in the prophets of Samaria. Well, what is Samaria? Do you remember that Israel was divided? Judah in the south and Israel in the north. What happened to Israel? They were taken captive by the Assyrians because they were so wicked and turned to so many false gods. America needs to learn from the mistakes of other nations who were once strong in the Lord. They turned away from God and they lost everything. Morals fell apart, economics fell apart, because they once who knew God, they turned away from him. Israel knew, turned away from God, and Judah's doing the exact same thing. Verse 14, I've seen a horrible thing of the prophets of Jerusalem. They commit adultery spiritually and walk in lies. They strengthen the hands of the evildoers that no one turns back from their wickedness. All of them are like Sodom to me, and their inhabitants are like Gomorrah. This is the main characteristics of false prophets. None of them turn from their wickedness. When there was revival, when there was reformation, and there was the time when the Bible was strong, preachers had come to town and drunks would pour their alcohol down the sink. Couples would reunite in their marriages because people would be convicted of sin and turn from their wicked ways. It is repent, turn to God, you'll be forgiven. He'll set things right. The truth will set you free. Today it's God loves you just the way you are. Don't change. You don't need to. Jesus ate with publicans and sinners and tax collectors. See, he loved them all. Yes, he did, which is why he ate with them and told the people, I eat with them because they're sick and they need a doctor. They need salvation. The adulterous woman brought to Christ, the prostitute, and Jesus wrote on the ground and all the accusers went away. And Jesus was left alone with her and he says, where are those who condemn you? And she said, they're gone. He says, neither do I condemn you. Go and enjoy your prostitution. Is that what he said to her? What did he say to her? This loving is getting people unshackled from their sins, free from their sins, forgiven of their sins. Amen. It is not condoning the sins and welcoming the sin because we love them more than you. That's not what the Bible has ever taught. It's repent, not relax. Look at verse 15. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets. Behold, I'll feed them wormwood or bitter drink, or the water of gall or poison from the prophets of Jerusalem. Profaneness has gone out into all the land. See, here's the balance. The balance is this. Boy, I'm not going to teach at all then. That's the way I'll just escape it all. I won't tell anything. But look what it says in Hebrews 5. For by this time you ought to be teachers, but you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles or principles or burden of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. God expects you to grow enough where you can teach. John 3:16. So that's what you're doing here today. We're learning. I mean, what you have done, you have no idea how pleased God is with you as a group, that you have sat through these pretty deep studies of a book of Jeremiah. You'll find very few churches going through Jeremiah on a Sunday morning. It's a tough book. There's a lot of stuff in here. And you guys have been so faithful to this, and you have understood the reason and purpose we're doing this. And you've learned things that you'll be able to teach others from the Bible. Goes on to say in this verse 13, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full of age, those who by reason have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Teachers are held to a high standard, but he wants all of you to be teachers. But the truth is, there's really only one teacher. Look at this verse, Matthew 23:9. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father who is in heaven. And do not be called teachers, for one is your teacher, the Christ. There's only one teacher. You know what a good teacher does? Teaches what the great teacher teaches. Jesus said, it is written, thus saith the word. It says this in this verse. Who are you going to listen to? You're going to listen to Donald Trump? Going to listen to Joe Biden? Going to listen to John Flanagan? No, we're going to listen to Jesus. Amen. We're going to listen to God, what he has to say. And you're going to listen only to those who stand behind the pulpit and tell you what Jesus and God teach. And the only way to tell you what Jesus and God teaches is to read from the scriptures what Jesus and God teaches. That's the only teacher worth anything. Our job is to study. Our job is to look and find and know what the scripture teaches. So this brings us to the real question of the day. Who are you going to listen to? Who are you going to choose? What book are you going to read? What radio station are you going to listen to? What podcast are you going to hear? Here's what God says about this subject in verse 16, the most important verses of the day probably. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you worthless, and they speak a vision of their own heart. That is 2024. Let me do a TED Talk, whatever that is. Let me do my podcast. Is there anybody left in the world without a podcast? I mean, everybody spewing whatever they feel, whatever their emotions are. And we think it's healthy. And it might be healthy. But you better have your Bible in hand to know whether you're being... Remember the Bereans? What would they do when Paul taught them the Word of God? They would search the Scriptures to make sure everything that man said was true. And you ought to do the same thing with me. Look what they say. They speak the vision of their own heart and not from the mouth of the Lord. They continually say to those who despise me, the Lord has said you have peace. And to everyone who walks according to the dictates of his own heart, they say, no evil shall come upon you. What is Jeremiah's message? Repent, because Babylon's coming, Nebuchadnezzar's coming, and you better turn back to God, and it's too late. And the prophets are saying what? Don't listen to that guy. There's no hell. There's no God. There's no hell below us. Above us only sky. Imagine there's no religion. Imagine there's no God. Wouldn't we have a great world? The message is opposite of God. Satan's message is always opposite of God. Eve, come on. You won't die. You eat this fruit, then your eyes will be opened and you'll be just like God. Was that true? Lie. She believed it. And yet, they got their robes, they got their suit and tie, they got their pulpit, they got their title. Here's what's happening in 2024, and I keep mentioning this. There's a thing called NAR, and it stands for New Apostolic Reformation. And what is happening is people are rising up, not only calling themselves prophets, but that we have a new apostles, not just prophets, but apostles that hear from God, so you don't need the Bible anymore. Because God's changing everything. Well, here's the truth about hearing from God. If you hear a voice from God, and that voice does not line up with the Bible, then it's untrue. But if it does line up with the Bible, it's unnecessary because you already have the Bible. So this word is what we have and what we need. Verse 18, for who has stood in the counsel of the Lord and perceived and heard his word? Who has marked his word and heard it? Behold, the whirlwind of the Lord has gone forth in fury, a violent whirlwind. It'll fall violently on the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not be turned back until he's executed and performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days, you will understand it perfectly. Understand what perfectly? The truth. Because every knee is going to bow. Amen? Every tongue is going to confess. And everybody is going to have to stand before God. And so I trust this word. I trust the Bible as being the absolute, infallible, perfect, complete word of God. It's the truth. And anything opposite of it, I consider a lie. Look at verse 21. I have not sent these prophets. Can you say that with me? I have not sent these prophets. Not everybody standing behind the pulpit was sent by God. Not everybody in a robe. Not everybody in a collar. Not everybody in a tie. Not everybody in a suit was sent by God. You know what was sent by God? The Bible, the scriptures. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they stood in my counsel and caused my people to hear my words, they would have turned from their evil way and from their evil doings. The Bible says you'll know a true preacher by their fruits. And then he says, am I a God near at hand, says the Lord, and not a God far off? What, do you think I don't hear you? Do you think I don't know exactly what you're prophesying? Do you think I don't know I didn't tell you these things? That's the guy, Jeremiah. He's the one I'm speaking to. Can anyone hide himself in secret places so I cannot see them, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? So again, who are you going to listen to? Because not everybody behind a pulpit is sent by God. You don't even know if I'm sent from God. You have no idea. Because that would be the next question. Well, Flanagan, what makes you right and everybody else wrong? Well, I'm not right either. But this book is right. And as long as I've got this book, you can test me and make sure that I'm on the right track. And you ought to fire me if I get away from this book. 2 Timothy 2:14 says, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord. Do not strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. This is the sad part about it. It's the hearers that suffer. There's always going to be false prophets. There's always going to be shysters trying to make a dollar off of those who are gullible about religion. When my mother was suffering with dementia towards the end of her life, and we didn't know that she was, but we found out, and Liz and I went down to her home to take care of her and move her in. We walked into her bedroom, and on her bed was just piled. I can't even explain to how many piled up with little trinkets from Catholic organizations that she had sent money to, and concern about her eternal soul. And I mean, it was 5-6 deep all over her bed. They're after the gullible. You got to trust what the Bible says, because if we don't, it might profit the speaker, it might profit the prophet, but the hearers suffer. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. It'll be health to your flesh, strength to your bones. Don't be wise in our own eyes. Just, I know you want to think for yourself. You don't want anybody telling you what to do. Man's wisdom is foolishness to God. Trust in the Word. Trust in Him. These next few verses in Jeremiah 23, they shocked me how accurate they were to some of the... There's a wave of false teaching that I've never seen before. And it all is coming in this idea of signs and wonders and prophecy and apostolic, and it's all in this idea that we don't need the Bible anymore. But look what it says. Verse 25, I have heard what the prophets have said, who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I've dreamed a dream. This is nothing new. There's always been, by the way, this was even harder back in the Old Testament because God spoke at times through dreams. But he said, indeed, they are prophets of deceit of their own heart, who try to make my people forget my name by their dreams, which everyone tells his neighbor, as their fathers forgot my name for Baal. And what is common with these things, it's not about a repentant attitude of turning to Christ, but it's about somehow rising up some inner power in you. It sounds more like Star Wars in the Bible. And you become the center of it all. The Mormons teach that you can become God. And some of this new teaching, it's the same strange brew of I have the power, and I can tell you, and I can go to heaven. Lady just heard her yesterday. She talked about going to heaven and having chicken with Jesus. And the hearers are listening and buying this because they have dreams. Look at verse 28. The prophet, this is so important, verse 28. The prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream. He who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is chaff to the wheat, says the Lord. He says, take this dreams and these fantasies of these false prophets, and they're like chaff in the wind. I want those who speak my word faithfully. That's what you want. You want an expository, verse by verse, principle by principle, teaching of God's word, faithful to what God has to say. When someone says, you know, God spoke to me, be careful. I'd rather have someone say, did you read this? Let me show you what I read in the Bible the other day. Let me show you what I found in the scripture. This is what keeps you solid, because none of us are smart enough to not be fooled. It is, Adam and Eve had everything. They walked and they talked and they fellowship with God. And Satan got them. Satan walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And he comes as an angel of light. And he stands behind a pulpit and preaches words of love and tells you to relax. While God is saying, no, I want you to repent. Verse 29, is not my word like fire, says the Lord, like a hammer that breaks rocks in places. Oh, the Bible, look what it says, Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is living and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It is the Bible that is alive and powerful. It's the Bible that really cuts deep into what we need to change. It convicts and rebukes and encourages. It does all those things. But we have messages today in which we don't want anybody to feel bad. Well, if you don't feel bad, you'll never change. You don't ever change, you'll never grow. Psalm 119:9 says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. You don't have to cleanse your way. Your way's fine. God loves you just the way you are. Don't change where God says change. Break the chain of sin. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith doesn't come by the force or some magic potion. Faith comes simply by hearing God's word, knowing that it's true. The Bible says that you're transformed by the renewing of your mind. Look at verse 30, Jeremiah 23. We're almost done. Therefore, behold, I'm against the prophets, says the Lord, who steal my words, every one from his neighbor. I'm against the prophets, says the Lord, who uses their tongues and says, he says. This is so important. Not everybody says, oh, God has told me. God has spoke to me. I have a word for you from the Lord that God wants you to do. Oh, God has told me you're going to do this. How do I know what God tells you? How do I know it wasn't just bad pizza? I had a dream. Cassius, God told me to tell you to give me $20. It's not trustworthy. Do you see? It's really important because this type of preaching is growing and growing and growing. I'm against those who prophesy false dreams, says the Lord, and tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and their recklessness. Yet I did not send them or command them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. Which brings us to a very important verse, is Matthew 7. It's very simple. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. What does that mean? They look like shepherds. Inwardly, they're ravenous wolves. You'll know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes and fig trees? Are they drawing you closer to the Lord? Are they asking you for money right away? I don't understand that. Six ways that you could grow in Christ, and for $29.99, I'll send it to you. Well, if you know six ways to help me grow in Christ, and you're already writing on the internet, what's your motivation? Do you want me to grow in Christ? How do you think God feels about selling his word? Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone into the world. Okay, how do we test the spirit whether it's from God? There's only one way to do it. It has to line up with the scriptures, which means what? We need to know the scriptures. Those who are expert in counterfeit money, we've talked about this a lot, they have to become so comfortable and aware of real money that when something is not right, they can feel it right away. They can tell it. So we need to become so familiar with God's word that when we're listening to somebody and something comes across, I got a phone call last week. Somebody used to go to church here, and they moved, and they said, you know, Pastor Don, I need to ask you a question. I was visiting a church, and the pastor said this, and it just didn't feel right to me. What do you think? We read some verses together, but I thought it was great. It was a counterfeit moment for this person. It's like, just didn't sit right. That's a Berean. That's what we do. I talk way too much anyway. We do 3 Bible studies a week. I've been here for 33 years. I've said some things that are from this pulpit that, as a Berean, you probably would have went. I remember my early days. Don was faithful. Larry was faithful. John, did you think about it this way? Oh. I remember Don, one of the greatest lessons Don ever told me. And I get emotional about this. I just really love you, Don. And he came to me and says, John, you need more Jesus in your messages. He says, you have a lot of doctrine, but you need more Jesus. And man, I was a young guy trying to show everybody how much I knew. And it changed the way I prepare messages. That's what we do for each other, because this is the truth. So this last part of this chapter is a little complicated, but what it is, it's talking about how you're going to be challenged when you stand for the truth. So this is really important for all of us. And these, what's amazing is these attacks that he's talking about is exactly what's happening. But they're a little complicated, so let me read it and try to explain it. Verse 33. So when these people, or the prophet, or the priest, ask you saying, what is the oracle of the Lord? You shall say to them, what oracle? I have even forsaken you, says the Lord. So to understand these verses, we have to understand the word oracle. The word oracle, if you have an old King James, anybody here using an old King James? Okay, what word is in there? It's burden. And so what the false prophets are doing is they're going to Jeremiah and saying to him mockingly, okay, Jeremiah, what's your burden today? Because all of his messages were what? Negative. Why were they negative? Because they refused to repent. Their messages are what? Relax. So they would label, this is where we get to 2024, they would label the truth as being burdensome. Christians, be quiet. We don't need your intolerant, unloving, narrow-minded message. Why can't all religions just be the same? Okay, what's your terrible, I got to repent again. Is that your message? Oh, I'm not supposed to go in and have my abortion? You judgmental Christians and your burdensome message? Are you with me now? So watch how God deals with this. So when the people or the prophet or the priest, verse 33, ask you saying, what is the burden of the Lord today? You will say to them, what burden? I will even forsake you, says the Lord. In other words, you're the burden. And as for the prophet and the priest and the people who say the burden of the Lord, I'll punish that man and his house. Those who take the gospel and the word of God and label it a burden to a nation, or we don't need it in our schools, we don't need it in our government, we don't need your burdensome religion, I will punish that man and his house. Thus every one of you shall say to his neighbor, every one to his brother, what has the Lord answered? What has the Lord spoken? And the burden of the Lord you shall mention no more. Every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess. For every man's word will be his own burden. For you have perverted the words of the living God. Pastor, you're being a little harsh. I'm just reading. Just reading. Those who would stand against the church, the body of Christ, and says, we're tired of your burdensome message. Leave us alone. Let us live the way we want to. God says, you're bringing this burden on yourself. Thus you shall say to the prophet, what has the Lord answered you, and what has the Lord spoken? But since you say the burden of the Lord, therefore thus saith the Lord, because you say of this word that it's a burden of the Lord, I have sent to you saying, do not say the burden of the Lord. Quit calling my truth a burden. Therefore, behold, I will utterly forget you, forsake you, and the city that I gave you and your fathers. I'll bring upon an everlasting reproach upon you, a perpetual shame which will not be forgotten. He that has the Son hath life. He that has not the Son hath not life. Many will say, well, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Weren't we doing everything in your name? And he says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I what? I never knew you. I don't know what gospel you were teaching over here, but it certainly wasn't the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Here's the truth. You think God's word is a burden? How about this great verse, Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. The truth will set you free. Amen. We're not preaching a burdensome message. We're preaching a message of salvation and freedom. 1 Corinthians 1:23, we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, it's a stumbling block. To the Greeks, it's foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Some people think our message is foolishness. For some, it's a stumbling block. They don't want to hear it. But to those who trust in Jesus, it's not a burden. It's the very opposite. So what do we do during this time? As we wait for the Lord to return, 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with longsuffering and teaching. It's interesting how it says, rebuke and exhort and convince. Those are all kind of opposite words. Sometimes we encourage you with the word, and sometimes it rebukes you. But we're warned, verse 3, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, they will have itching ears. They'll heap up for themselves teachers, and they'll turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. The people were so in depth in their sin in Judah that they wanted to kill Jeremiah and applaud these faults because they like the message of relax. Look, we'll find anything. You can find any church in this nation to teach exactly what you want God to be. You can find it. But the Word of God is the only standard that you'll stand by when you stand before God. So what do we need to do? 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Psalm 119:11, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. I don't want to do wrong, so I hide God's word in my heart. I study it. We read it. We hear it. Faith cometh by hearing. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Hide God's word in your heart. It all comes down to his word. We're in, because of social media, because of gullible sheep, the increase of false teaching, it's rapidly increasing. And I've talked to a lot of you about loved ones and family members who have been taken in. It is, remember the first verse we read today, my heart is breaking because of your holy word. Let's encourage one another, but do not neglect this book. Get into it, study it. If not, you are going to be very vulnerable to some of the wildest, craziest garbage I've ever heard since I've been in ministry. Next thing, last thing, hold me accountable. Make sure that that we're on target here. That's your job. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. It stabilizes us, encourages us. There are false prophets in sheep clothing all over. I pray, Lord, our heart breaks when our loved ones are drawn away from it. Lord, help us to be able to stand strong and to, I know, Lord, you hold teachers to a high regard, high responsibility, but Lord, it is a privilege to share your scriptures with others. Help us to do so faithfully in Jesus' name, amen. Silas, let's sing that last song that we sung. Let's stand as we sing our last hymn. How deep.
Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the
people said. We are evening service tonight at 6:30, deacon's meeting tomorrow night at 6, and there is plenty of cupcakes and things in the kitchen as you leave. Take as many as you like. God bless you. Have a great day.